We're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking with Dr. Timothy Schaefer. He is the director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy and an associate professor in the Department of Communications at K-State. We've been talking here about the community conversations here on the 901 Points Project, and that's just one example of how good civic discourse can happen in our communities. Another thing we're kind of watching here in this, at the state level, has been redistricting, and you have an interesting perspective, I think, on this morning. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I don't know if it's an interesting perspective, but I have a perspective. One of the scenarios, you know, so our Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, that second half of it, you know, the democracy piece really is pretty explicitly and directly connected to things like voting, you know, some of these basic practices in a democracy. And this process that's going on right now at the state level, right, as your listeners would probably be aware, there was a new map based off of redistricting from the last census. It passed, it was vetoed, it went back supermajority, and so now there's the Ad Astra 2 map is the one kind of in question. What's going on right now, though, is it's being challenged in court because it has drawn the districts differently than they've been. So the kind of sense of kind of compactness and the question of boundaries and density have been altered in some ways that, you know, some would say it really dilutes the voice of some people, particularly over in kind of Lawrence, for example. The big one kind of dips in different ways than it ever has before and splits counties. And so what's interesting, though, is it's being challenged at the state level instead of in federal court, in large part because the Supreme Court relatively recently kind of came down in response to say they're not going to get into the middle of kind of gerrymandering questions at state level. So it's navigating a slightly different process than we might have been familiar with. Especially for the last cycle, right? This happens rather infrequently because the census really only changes every 10 years. But that's the current moment that we find ourselves in is, you know, largely this question of who is represented in what ways. And we realize that both political parties in this country have utilized this process to their own benefit. And I think arguably we're seeing some of that now with real repercussions on our representative kind of group in DC, right? So the third district, for example, is the one that has been maybe altered most significantly by this because of that that shift around with the big one.
Well, and it's interesting because with that little battle going on for that area, it indirectly impacts parts of our region out here. It would put Waubunsee County in and Geary County into the, I believe, the second congressional district. So
That goes to the second. Yeah, and maybe I misspoke saying third instead of second, but it's true, right? I mean, and which is one of the things that has long been a practice in this process is to say, how do we kind of retain populations as part of congressional districts that are alike is maybe a simple way, right? So we can think about the big one, basically everything west and a lot of south from here, right? If it just kind of projects out like a microphone, so to speak, or a megaphone, I should say, is maybe a better visual of that. What becomes interesting, and I think it's, you know, I think it's a fair question of when you look at it, and I would encourage people to take a look at the map, the part that the tail, so to speak, of that kind of megaphone does go in ways that would have us literally saying, how is Lawrence also in the district with literally every county that borders Colorado, for example, and virtually all of them in Nebraska and you know, kind of the southwestern part of the state. So I think that's where it's it will be an interesting process as it goes through the state level rather than the federal, though. And that's where this cycle will be a little bit different from maybe even recent times because it has been kind of situated differently than we than we've seen in the past.
Well, keep watching that and see what takes place here. Another thing we're watching here, obviously, is the big news that we heard this morning in Ukraine. And, you know, it's unfortunately turned into more of a violent situation here with Russia attacking Ukraine. And it's really unfortunate because I know that there was efforts for diplomacy, and looks like that's maybe going to be off the table here now.
Yeah, I mean, briefly, and I'm not an international relations expert, and so I don't want to pretend to be one either. But I think there is, you know, there is a continuity, a thread through these pieces that we've talked about this morning, all the way from the local kind of discussions about kind of contentious issues to how legislative bodies at a state level decide, you know, how do we reflect and represent our citizens to this question of Russia and Ukraine. Right. The late last night for us, Russia in invading. Right. The language might be a little bit different, but the response, I will note, has been varied. And it's an interesting scenario. And some scholars of this work have acknowledged this, that, you know, in the past where we might have been more kind of collectively unified around some of these themes, I would encourage your listeners to pay attention. How are people talking about some of this? A lot of this is exacerbated, unfortunately, by this kind of partisanship and polarization in a way that maybe I'll end it this way because I know we're coming short on time, is like, who are we, right, as a people? How do we think about our collective issues and concerns, whether it's down on points about our reuse of a public school building all the way to a kind of an international diplomacy situation where we have the confrontation between largely authoritarianism and a democracy. And what do we do about that? And is our response largely shaped by the way that we perceive our elected officials in view of their relationship to other people in this country? I.e., if you're a Democrat, do you talk about this way in a certain way, or if you're a Republican? And I think that's a real loss for us as Americans. And so I would encourage people to think about that question as you're consuming information. You know, do you trust it? Is it legitimate? As we've talked about before, the issues of misinformation and the like. This is where communication and propaganda are utilized extensively by those who want to have people be confused about what's going on. So I would encourage people to be very diligent about what they read and what they share, and how they come to be informed about what is going on, because we're going to be feeling the effects really soon, to be honest, whether it's at the gas pump or other places. But it's more than just how much do you pay for a tank of fuel. What is the future of democracy in this world? And that's the moment we find ourselves in.
Any advice from your perspective of, you know, those of us with kids that may have questions? What's the best way to explain this to them, do you think?
You know, I always take the route of honesty, but also like appropriateness. We were having this conversation last night because our kids could tell at dinner that we were, you know, at least me, I was kind of thinking about this somewhat in an ominous way. And so we kind of candidly talked about it. We, you know, we have multiple kids. We have a 10 and 18 year old, or a 10 and 8 year old almost. The others are too young to really kind of understand this, but we were kind of explaining that, you know, these things happen sometimes, and trying to say why is honestly a hard question, because I have a hard time to justify that myself, or even explain why that might be what's going on. But, you know, I think kids know more than we think they know. They hear things if we're listening to the radio in the car, whatever else it might be. So it's better, I think, to maybe respond to those things in a way that's age appropriate rather than kind of act like it doesn't exist, because they're hearing this. And if they hear war or violence, they're going to ask, is this here? Is this going on? Right? We don't have the sounds of Fort Riley right now, but I could see where some people, if a kid would hear some of that they could become really concerned. So I would encourage people to think about that through that lens of how do we be honest, but also appropriate, especially for young people, because this, you know, this is also a trying time of our collective future. So I would really encourage people to think about it that way.
All right, we'll end it there. Dr. Schaefer, it's always good to chat with you, and we'll look ahead to talking to you next month.
That's great. Thanks so much. I really appreciate all you do.
All right, again, Dr. Timothy Schaefer here joining us here from the Kansas State University Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. We'll hear from Robin Cole, Pawnee Mental Health, up next on News Radio KMAN.